So if you would, pull out your insert for today on the message. On the inside, you'll find the crossword puzzle there. Today, we complete the series, and the only way I could do this was to put Commandments 8, 9, and 10 together, which really isn't a problem, because Commandments 9 and 10 both have to do with coveting. The ninth commandment, Martin Luther separated out from the 10th commandment. With the church of the day, though, didn't do that. They had them together just as coveting. But Martin Luther separated them as coveting property, and the 10th was coveting living things. Okay? And the way that then Martin Luther kept 10 commandments was when the early church had commandments 1 and 2 were, you shall have no other gods, and you shall have no graven images. Martin Luther put that together as just, you shall have no other gods. But you know what? I look at it and I think it to myself, why did the church have 10 commandments? We could have easily have had 9 and ended confirmation classes earlier. I just thought about that, and that's not what we did. As Lutherans, we just, you know, we kept the 10, you know. So we've got commandments 8 and then 9 and 10 for today. And so I want to begin, first of all, with that 8th commandment. So I'll say, what is the 8th commandment? And you respond, just like we always do. What is the 8th commandment? What does this mean? Okay, and so we go back to where we were with the crossword puzzle, and we've gone through all the commandments up to this point, and we have all the different cue words for each commandment up there. And today, if you don't mind, I'm not going to go through each one of them. I'm going to go straight to the commandment at hand, which takes me to number 2 down. And you've got quite a few of the letters in that. Well, you know what it is then. Dealing with the 8th commandment, what is the word? You all went to high school, right? Yeah. This is God's good gift of reputation. Okay. Martin Luther put it this way, you were all born with a good reputation, even though you were sinful. What happens to your reputation over time? You wreck it. Other people wreck it. Let me ask you this question. Is it easier to keep a good reputation, or is it easier to damage a reputation? I think you know the answer, right? And that's partly because of the things we do, and that's partly because of the things we say and do to other people. And we forget how important it is within the church to have a good reputation, not just by the things that we do to show that we have a good reputation, but also by the things that we say and we do for others to show that we're concerned about their reputation. So if you take a look at the outline for today, you'll see kind of where I'm going, and we've got some Bible verses that go with us. It's what does the commandment say that forbids us to do concerning the commandment? Tell lies about our neighbor in Ephesians 4. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of us speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one body. And I just real quick have a little story about somebody that I knew in high school, and I feel bad telling the story because I'm partly at fault for his problem and for the way he was in high school. We called the kid 8-Ball. We all wore our hair long back in the mid-70s. Does that surprise any of you? Would it surprise you if my hair was down to my shoulders? That's the way it was. But there was one boy in school who had his hair cut really, really short. So short, and his hair was black, that his head looked like a 8-Ball. And so we used to call him 8-Ball. And because he was picked on the way he was, people made up stories about him. Well, this is why his hair is short. This is why he acts so oddly. And by the time we got into our senior year, the person that he was, I just felt terrible about it. I felt awful about it. Anytime anybody would say anything about him, I just had this horrible feeling inside of me. And really, to tell you the truth, I think that's one of the reasons my relationship with him is one of the reasons I finally ended up becoming a Christian, is because I felt so terrible about how he treated him. I found out later that his mom had died and his dad just left, and he was going from foster home to foster home, and he got into one foster home where they didn't have a lot of money, and so his parents were cutting his hair, and they would cut it real short like that to save money. That was what was going on. You know, things like that happen to people today, and they pick up guns, and they go in schools, and they pull the trigger. Because we don't defend them, speak up for them, and try to understand them and protect their reputation. Number two, betray our neighbor. Reveal his secrets. Proverbs, a gossip betrays, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. I've lived in small towns. Have you ever lived in a small town? You don't need a phone in a small town. You know why you don't need a phone? Because word travels faster between people than it does little electrons touching each other going down a wire. We're quick to share that news. And sometimes it's not good news. Sometimes it's bad news. And I don't know why the church is this way, but sometimes it's true of the church too. I get a phone call and somebody tells me, did you know this about somebody or whatever? And I'm like, yeah, I heard about that. It just happened. How could you know about it? I don't know. Somebody was just in the office and told me. I'm very careful, though, when people bring me news, to shut it down as quick as possible when I think it's unhealthy news. Are you? Sometimes you have to be very careful and have to have a very strong listening ear so that you can protect somebody else that somebody might be talking about in a negative way. Now, the good news is this. For those of us who have that kind of an ear, living within the boundaries of God's law, we can really, really bring joy to another person when we stick up for them, when we care for them, when we understand that all news that comes out, some of it's not good news. But we have to reflect on our own lives and the kind of people we are personally before we make a judgment on somebody else when we hear news. Sometimes it's best just to shut it down and say, please don't repeat that. It's not healthy. Number three, slander. Luke says, judge not, you'll not be judged. Condemn not, you'll not be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Give, and it'll be given to you. So, what stands higher in the Christian church in terms of how we treat one another in terms of talk and care? Judge or forgiving? You answer the question. When you get angry, are you quick to forgive? Or are you quick to judge? There's your answer. So what does it say we should be all about in this commandment, number 15 across? We should be defending one another. People want to go to a church. People want to attend a church and be a part of a church where the people are defending one another. We're like a little army. That's what we're like. We're like a little army, and we're fighting for the Lord. And it's hard to do that when we're fighting with one another. Football teams that end up being really good football teams have something called team chemistry. All that really is they're defending one another, sticking up for one another, and nobody's throwing somebody else under the bus. Everybody is doing their part, doing the best they can, not looking at the other person and seeing what they're doing, because everybody knows there's only one person you can really control in the world, and who is that person? Who is it? Right here, me. Not me, but you should be pointing at yourself, right? That's the only person you can really control. So we take care of our own business best we can. We do our best. We love, we defend, and we care for one another. That's the kind of place people are drawn to, the kind of place where people really get along. Oh, at the bottom, you know the old catechism, the way I learned it, it said at the end, put the best construction on everything. Who learned it that way? Raise your hand. Yeah, good. That's the way. And put the best construction on everything. Let's go back really quick before I carry on to eight ball. When I finally heard about 8-Ball's situation and what was going on, a buddy of mine told me about it. And he said that after graduation was over and everybody was kind of getting together in the field house and sharing with one another and families their great celebration and excitement of finally getting out of high school, 8-Ball was standing by himself. His foster parents were there, but they were really busy talking to somebody else, and they left him go. So this one buddy of mine went over by him with his family and said, you know, why don't you celebrate with us? I wonder how much of a difference that made in his life. I don't know whatever happened to him. But because my buddy did this with him, I think that changed his life. This is the kind of people we could be. Okay, let's go to the next commandment. The ninth and tenth commandment. There we are. What is the ninth and tenth commandment? And what does this mean? Now, that might not be exactly the way you memorized it in confirmation class, because I co-mingled 9 and 10. Okay, so let's go to our next crossword piece. 5 across, ending with the letter T. Does anybody know what it is? That's right, covet. Now, here's a more difficult question. What is coveting? The way that the catechism explains it is it's a sinful desire for things that do not or maybe should not belong to us. And the best illustration I've seen of coveting was this really handsome man, not me, somebody else, really handsome man, and out of his eyes were coming arms, and they were reaching and trying to grab for all kinds of things around him, out of his eye sockets. I thought that was a really good way to illustrate coveting, that we're out there with our eyes grabbing and trying to reach things. Reminds me of like Thanksgiving dinner. When you sit down for Thanksgiving dinner, how many things are on the table? Maybe 9 courses? Yeah, something like that. And the eyes are too big for the stomach. Coveting is when we start to get these desires for things that really are not in good keeping with our own good spiritual health. We start reaching and grabbing for things either that don't belong to us or shouldn't belong to us. And so you have a Bible, and there's a lot of Bible verses on coveting in the Scriptures. And I think the reason is because of how harmful it is, not only to the world, but how it's been the downfall of so many people who are Christians. And I think here, 1 Timothy verse 6, given our next cue from number 5 down, is the answer. Being content with the things that you have. Now remember, It's not only material things, but it's also living things, because I put 9 and 10 together. All right, wives, how many of you are content with your husbands? Please raise your hand. Okay. Now, men, don't raise your hands. I'm not going to say a thing, because that's going to cause more trouble than it's worth. But to tell you the truth, parents, are you always content with your children? Children, are you always content with your parents? I could go on and on through aunts, uncles, you know, the whole bit. Whenever we're not content with our family members, whenever we're not content with other relationships in our lives, whenever we break relationships because of a lack of contentment, our eyes are wandering somewhere else to other relationships that look more pleasing. We're breaking, really, the 9th and 10th commandment. We're crossing a fence we probably, well, I know we shouldn't cross. Now, then, how can we live within the boundaries of God's good and gracious love and mercy, where we will all be filled with peace and joy concerning the 9th and 10th commandment, simply to look at the people around us and say, I'm content. Not, it could be worse, but I'm content. To really think through the process about relationships, the grass isn't greener on the other side when it comes to necessarily being around other people. The people God gives us, they are now the ministry we have. And by showing contentment, do you think they get it? Yeah. Does that change their lives? You bet. And you become an evangelist. You become a good steward. You become a reflection of Christ himself and what he did on the cross in love for each and every one of us. 1 Timothy 6, if we have food and clothing, we will be content, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils, and coveting has caused some to wander away from the faith. They've pierced themselves with many troubles and pain, but godliness with contentment is great gain. There's a picture here of this contentment when we throw coveting out and we turn towards contentment, a picture that we have with Christ himself. And Paul knew it. And so he wrote this, I commend you to God and to the world of his grace, which is able to build you up. I coveted no one's possessions. You yourselves know that I worked with these hands to pay for the things that I needed and the things that others needed. I have shown you that by working hard, we may help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than. Whenever we do that, we become Christ in other people's lives. And so that completes our little walk through the Ten Commandments. And I hope that you grew in your understanding of it, your appreciation of the fact that God gave law, rules, whatever you want to call them, for the purpose that we might live together under his love, within the boundaries of his grace, and be filled with peace and joy. Amen.